Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the Friday Mac show from the Bagel Tech Network, where we discuss all things unashamedly Macintosh, everything to do with your devices and all that kind of stuff. And it's an Apple haven here. You won't be hearing Windows and you won't be told off if you mention Apple, because the world seems to be loving Apple at the minute. Joining us, we've got a stand-in chap who's sterlingly stepped up to the mark to help us out, because Will had to disappear at late notice. Mr. Mark Sunner. Hello, Mark. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Ewan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, very good. Now, you're a bit of a security expert, I gather.
In my distant past, yes, that was my sort of chosen career path.
Jolly good.
I haven't been sort of doing that day to day for the next, for the last couple of years, but it's interesting to still keep my eye on it, and not a lot has changed.
I've got to say, I rate you already, mate, because when I talked about Sophos on my Mac, you said I was very sensible. So bugger the rest of you. There you go. Mark's on my side. And Mark's also on my side because he sent us a Mac Mini to run the Skype all with. So officially, mate, thank you ever so much. You and Andrew have chipped in for that, so it's very, very, very special. Thank you very much indeed. Next to him is Andrew, Dr. Happy Mac, our man who knows everything technology-wise as far as Macs are concerned. How's the week been, mate?
Yeah, pretty busy. Plenty of stuff going on. Yeah, I've had a good week. Sadly, there's been some Windows machines involved in it.
Oh! Did you wash your hands afterwards, though?
Yeah, I know, but no, yeah, not too bad, and I'm looking forward to the next hour and then some weekending.
Rightio, and celebrity clients have expanded this week as well, I hear.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was yesterday. I was presented with a MacBook laptop and informed that it belonged to a 70s singer-songwriter sensation, Gilbert O'Sullivan, who was going on tour today, and the MacBook was supposed to be running his lighting rig.
Oh, dear.
So if you're going to see Gilbert O'Sullivan in Birmingham tonight, it'll be fine. You'll be able to see him.
What, you didn't get free tickets for us? Oh. Cheapskate. So did you earn your fee? Did he get it working?
Yeah, it's up at the NEC at the moment.
You want your problem solved, you've got to come see us, definitely. Mm-hmm. Below him, Carl Swagger, just fresh from dinner, having done photo with me this morning. How's things, mate? Mac's not good,
yeah,
I hear.
Very full now.
Yeah, your stomach's all right, but your Mac's not so good, is it?
Don't bring it up.
Now, you should be asking it. Andrew for advice here, because Kyle's G4 Mac has crapped out this week, and the advice he's got is that it's the motherboard.
Which sort of G4?
Mac Mini.
What's that?
Mac Mini.
Yeah,
get a PC.
Even a PC is better than the Mac Mini.
Plug it in, you'll be good to go. Fantastic. Can't rate them high enough.
Hackintosh, mate. That's where you need to go. And last but by no means least, Eric Lanigan joining us at 5 a.m. from San Francisco. How's it going, pal?
Good. How are you guys?
Yeah, excellent. I caught your show last night. Very, very good. Nice phone in.
Oh, thanks.
You got the chat room dead angry, though, which is a good thing. If you're doing a talk show, it's got to be good with a phone in. If they can get a bit pissed off at you, then you're doing the right thing, aren't you?
They got to tell me, though, what were they angry about? Because I don't. If I'm talking and listening, I often don't get to look over and see what they're saying. So what had them angry? Was it all the Apple stuff?
Well, the wittiest remark of all was that you're doing a good job standing in for Leo. However, maybe they should have told you that last night's episode wasn't Mac Break Weekly.
Oh, burn.
No, you got a bit of stick there, but it was a good show. But everyone, and this is interesting, because everyone that wanted to phone in, they all wanted to talk about Apple. Everyone wants to talk about Apple.
It's funny, that's not uncommon for the chat room to want to talk about something totally different than the callers, where you just get call after call of people who want to talk about the same topic, and the chat room just lights up with move on to a different topic.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's tough to know which one to do, because if you just say we're moving on, you got to get calls, so you got to take the calls that are coming in. It's tough. It's a difficult balance.
No. I mean, you can't even react to the chat room then on that basis, because you know, they want that they want, and the callers want what they want, and it just, if the two don't marry, you're a bit stuffed really in the middle, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, this is all Mac, so you haven't got to worry about that. We're definitely, definitely Mac. It's not going anywhere else. We've had some more questions. We did have a Mark that wrote in last week and talked about the battery issue. He wrote back after the show, and he said his cycle count was above 400. So, based on your advice, Andrew, I think he was quite happy that he got more than his fair share out of his battery.
Yeah, I'd say it's time to go for the new one.
Definitely. So whether he went for the cheap one or not, he hasn't told us, but his cycle count was very high. Hi, chaps. Love the show. Paul has written in from down south somewhere. Firstly, sorry I'm not about today, but I've got a question. Bit cheeky, I know. I want to connect my iMac 27-inch to a SAT free box. I think he needs a free SAT box. How can I do that? Basically, I want to use my iMac as a television, although, of course, the satellite box will be the converter of signals, while its output will be displayed on the iMac. Any options you've got, I'll consider. And the SAT box the SAT nav box the SAT box has all the usual outputs, HDMI, etc. Any suggestions?
I'm going to suggest that's not going to work.
Yeah, that's what I thought actually.
Yeah, the only way you're going to get sort of the television onto your Mac is to use something like the Elgato ITV.
Yeah, Elgato do quite a range of plugins, don't they, for the thing that are pretty good. I've got the capture thing, which just does basic S-video out from your standard Skybox, and that works pretty well, but it captures it pretty low res.
I've not used one, but I hear good things about Slingbox. I mean, that's also for capturing the stuff remotely as well. Would that crack it?
Would you have to link your Slingbox to the?
I think it's HDMI straight from the
cable box.
Satellite box, and then it just sits there wirelessly, and I think you can then sort of watch it anywhere.
But we haven't saved Paul any money yet.
Ah, no. On a budget,
that,
not sure.
I mean, what he's talking about is just having the Mac having the app, should I say, there on your Mac, and then you just launch the app, and then you can switch the channels and everything, doing it that way. I mean, I guess that's possible. I don't know if that's exactly what the guy's looking for the setup. It sounds like he wants his Mac to be his cable box. And
just a TV
most providers
screen.
Are going to say no way.
No, he's got the box, and the box is doing all the decoding and that kind of stuff. What he's saying is he wants the Mac to be the TV for it. He doesn't want it to PVR or anything like that. He just wants the TV signal into his Mac. And I thought, well, Elgato is probably the simplest and cheapest solution for that. The other ones may be a bit more kludgy.
I might be missing the point here. I'm just wondering why he wants to do that. So I've got a similar setup, and I go straight from satellite into the TV, but then my home system is a Mac Mini also into the TV. And from that combination, I've then got everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm set up with a server here in the office, and then I've just got Apple TVs now. I've released all the Mac Minis to run the Skype wall. And that works really, really good. And especially if you get something like Will's selection the other week, Get iPlayer Automator. That's the find of the year for me, apart from Teleport. I've ripped the hell out of the iPlayer these last few weeks. I'm sorry. It's just fantastic. And it downloads it, and then you stick it straight into your iTunes. It does it for you. And it puts all your series links together, the PVR function on. It's incredible. If BBC had sold that, I'd have bought it. Now the other thing is, Eric, over in the States, you guys have cable boxes that have got different outputs, haven't you? You've got FireWire on them, stuff like that.
They have them because of some strange rule. I don't know why it's there. I think it actually might have to do with interfacing to make sure that your cable box can legally record onto a digital VHS tape. You remember those? I don't think anyone actually bought those. The DVHS.
They had the
format.
Holes in them.
Hmm?
They had the holes in them. That was the only thing that separated them from standard videotapes, was that they had an extra hole drilled in them. And if you went and bought a standard videotape and drilled the hole in it, you used to get the high quality recording on them.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it was a little hole in the bottom, and it was on the back end of it, and you just had to drill the hole, and then it recorded everything in HD. Never made any difference.
That's funny. That's funny, but yeah, I remember seeing those in stores years and years ago. I think that's what the FireWire is for, but from what I understand, most cable boxes actually have it disabled. You get a cable box here, you get all kinds of FireWire and USB ports, and most of those are not accessible by the users. It's just for maintenance, or they're just dummy ports that don't connect to actual circuitry back there. But if the guy with the question was trying to save money by using his Mac as the TV instead of buying a TV, I would suggest he's gonna spend so much money on something like that Elgato solution to get a high quality signal, especially if he wants HD into his Mac, and by doing so even reduce the quality more, because TVs are so cheap these days, HD TVs. If you got even a little 720p screen, you know, then you could have essentially two monitors. It doesn't have to use up his Mac screen. The TV monitors have better color, better brightness. They're much better calibrated for TV signals. And of course, anything having to do with deinterlacing and scaling and deteleceining and all that stuff, they're going to be far superior to trying to do it through software on the Mac.
Yeah, it could be. I think, the Elgato stuff works pretty good in the HD version with the twin tuner in it. Links directly to your Skybox pretty well. I know that. It's just got the standard screwing cables and so on. So that should work. You've also got to watch out with HDMI and Mini DisplayPort as well, haven't you? Because they're both selectable output control is on both of those. So if they think that what they're broadcasting to is not a compliant device, they'll just kick you out anyway. They won't take anything incoming or outgoing. So
DRM, love it.
Love it. Yeah. Thank you very much. The week in Apple. Cool, blimey. There's been a whole load of news. None of it really productive, I would have thought. Most of it's rumours. The fantastic news that was at Mobile World Congress, the show for cell phones that's really boring in Barcelona. The best in show was the iPhone 4, and it wasn't even there.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Have we got a real problem that you know, and this is our fault perhaps, you know, as journalists or interested amateurs, you know, we kind of end up talking up Apple all the time. Everyone's talking Apple, but actually in terms of the sales figures, they're still only 10% of the computer market, and they're very dominant in terms of things like the iPad and that kind of stuff and the cell phone. But you know, crowing Apple?
I think there is an element of marketing genius about literally just not pitching up to CES and now the Mobile World Congress, but subtly potentially leaking some information about smaller phones to the Wall Street Journal at just the absolute perfect time. You know, what's everyone talking about? And they're not even there. Brilliant.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing, isn't it? You know, there's some sad news this week that potentially Steve Jobs is not very well and may not be around for very long. We're not going to talk about that. But, you know, if you draw a parallel between him and someone like Thomas Edison, everyone says, oh, you know, Edison was an innovator. You wouldn't have said that Jobs was an innovator. But you know, last week on the show, someone said, no, you know, Edison claimed to invent the light bulb. And that's the point, is that, you know, Steve Jobs didn't invent Apple per se. He certainly reinvented it. But he's the master marketeer. Are they going to miss that if he's not around, you know, just through this absence or any worse?
Well, according to the stock market, not yet. There seems to be a lot of faith in the company, which is good. It's good for all of us. Mm. And they shouldn't put all their eggs in one basket with Jobs. And I think Jobs even knows that himself, that there's got to be somebody. I guess it's Tim?
Tim Cook.
I guess, you know, yeah, would be the one filling the shoes. I mean, it's going to be a different experience. Don't get me wrong. But I would think that they should have enough in the arsenal already, if, you know, God forbid something would happen to Steve, that they have products coming out that have already set, that are pretty much already done, that are going to be coming out our way at least for the next few years.
Well, as Mark says there, you know, they've timed that little leak, that little rumor through the Wall Street Journal absolutely perfectly. There's no way on God's earth that Jobs sits there and goes, do it now. You know, it's a whole marketing department that thinks of that, surely.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I don't know if there's actually going to be a small iPhone. I mean, we've seen conflicting reports all week about it. There's going to be one. Then they said, no, there's not going to be one. And then, of course, there is the one about the bigger screen on the new iPhone.
Do we want a bigger screen?
I do, yes.
Because your eyesight.
My eyesight sucks. And
oh, boy.
I think they need to play a little catch-up, too, in the market. There's a lot of bigger screen phones coming out there. And let's face it, iOS on a bigger display, it would look beautiful. If it's a Retina display, you got yourself a mini little tablet there. Forget the 7-inch tablet we've been hearing about iPad. It's just a bigger iPhone.
Anyone else?
I'd buy one.
You'd buy one. That's the point. You can't just say that, though, Mark, because that's the key characteristic of all of us on here, is that we buy what we're told to. I mean,
exactly.
We're all Apple fanboys, unashamedly.
We will follow you, master.
Buy this, yes, okay. Great. Buy this, okay.
To be honest, I think if there truly were, you know, a version of an Android phone or God forbid, even Windows 7, but that's clearly just not going to happen, that was in some way superior, if the interface was superior, if it was really, really together, sure, you know, I would definitely look at it. I mean, I go with Apple stuff because it just is the best. As long as they keep kicking out the best product, I think then, you know, the allegiance will stay.
Is it the best?
I think so. In terms of the full user experience, I mean, especially if we're talking about the phone, I mean, it's expensive. You're definitely not paying for the cheapest model, but I think in terms of the whole way it's put together, I've played with Android phones and Windows 7 phones, and they just don't. I think you do get a lot from a single company making both the hardware and controlling the software, and that's the sort of fragmentation which just can't help but leak out with all these other devices. There isn't that sort of unison between those two sides that seems to come together so well with AppleKit.
So on that theory, then that means that WebOS and HP should be making a quality device that could.
It's possible, but they've got so much catch up to do, haven't they? I mean, it's the opportunity cost of getting all that experience which is built up in Apple, going right through to sort of chipsets now. That's a long way to catch up, but it's conceivable. It's certainly one in the eye for Microsoft.
The thing they got to do though, customer. Apple treats their customers like we're important all the time. And that's something that Windows doesn't get, HP doesn't get, Motorola doesn't get. It's like, oh, thank you for buying our product. Oh, and we're not going to support that come 6 months. Apple is always in the game when it comes to their customers.
But do they still do what they want? I mean, you say that about Apple's customer focus, and the front end of welcoming in the shops, personalized shopping, one-to-one sessions for learning the software and that kind of stuff, and making the conversion over from Windows to Mac is all real good. It's all front-end stuff. It's brilliant. But at the back end of that, when you actually sit down, I bet you there's every single one of us in the last few weeks has felt a bit hard done by with the way that the restriction has started to emerge around applications. And there's a bit of fear in all of us about where's this going to go, where's it going to end, how much they're going to control, what am I going to have to do? The walled garden and the door for it is getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Are they really customer focused?
I think they're a bit like Tesco's. To draw an inappropriate analogy.
Steve's going to be so happy at that.
Yeah. No, but I mean, Tesco's are masters of appearing to be the cheapest place to shop whilst being nowhere near the cheapest place to shop. And I think Apple's are masters of appearing to be the best at customer service by being pretty much about as good as everyone else at customer service. I mean, a lot of my...
Well,
go on, Eric.
Oh, I think in general, you know, if you go into any other store besides, if you go into a Best Buy or, well, I was going to say Circuit City, they don't exist anymore. CompUSA doesn't exist, but I don't know what you guys have over there. But if you go into any of those stores, the salespeople are not half as knowledgeable about their products as the Apple people are. Mm. And they certainly don't offer free walk-in tech support where it doesn't matter if you bought it there, doesn't matter if you have a warranty there, you can walk up and start talking with a genius at a genius bar. I mean, that's pretty cool. And I think people, especially new users who are not very tech savvy and don't have a vast network of friends and peers who are tech savvy and can help them, they see that as just extremely helpful. And I think having that handholding to get them into these new worlds of smartphones and tablets and making media and stuff on their computers, I think that's where the Apple Store just seems like this glorious, idealistic place to people who otherwise would be scared to venture into this technology.
And I think it goes beyond that. You know, the store is a wonderful thing, but it goes beyond that. I mean, I always go back to the point last year, I was going to buy an Android phone until I found out I don't know where my update's coming from. Apple always is, at least for 2 years, I know with my phone, probably longer, is going to guarantee me an update. I know it's coming. I know I'm going to be supported for a while. I like that vote. I like knowing that I'm okay, you know, that I'm taken care of. Unlike if I go in and buy an HP, or you got 1 year warranty on that. Do you want to extend that? Because usually they're a piece of crap after that. You know, you don't really have that with Apple. You got Apple Care, because Apple cares.
Oh, it's expensive though.
It is expensive.
I know you wish you had it
now,
but you
go back to the point. It's not like dealing with the Best Buy employee who goes, oh, let me find your paperwork and let's do this. Well, we can't do it here. We've got to send that off to the manufacturer. You don't have any of those problems when you deal with Apple.
Yeah, that's true. But it, again, that's going back to Mark's point about it's an integrated product, isn't it? I mean, it's the, it's their product, it's their hardware, it's their software. So naturally, by virtue, they have to stand up and be counted about their own products. Okay.
HP doesn't.
No, that's true. But they don't do the software either. Andrew, your other point was saying.
What? Sorry?
Your other point. You were going on to make another point there, and I let Eric have a stab.
Oh, God.
You've forgotten. You slept since then.
And then I continued stabbing, sorry.
Yeah.
Eric, you picked a story for us, didn't you? Mobile Me.
Oh, actually, sorry. Let me just say one little thing about what you were saying. Two things. One is it's interesting that... talking about HP having this, that one of the successes they may have with webOS is because they have such a wide distribution channel through their various retail presence and Best Buy and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, I also remember, I think, weren't they recently ranked by customers as like the lowest customer support quality amongst a lot of different devices. The other thing I wanted to say, this goes back a couple of topics, but you were talking about Steve Jobs and his role in invention and the products that he's produced and the products that why is the industry continuing to look at Apple, not just the manufacturers and the people who are actively copying them, but the journalists who fawn over them and just keep reporting and talking about them endlessly.
Mm.
And I think that while Steve Jobs has not necessarily invented or coded or machined, you know, these things, then these products himself, it's true what you said, that there is a lot of marketing behind it. He is an expert marketer. He knows how to get people excited about products. But I think the other thing that people are continuously confounded by is his remarkable sense of taste. And that's a word that he's used before. There's a famous interview of him where he's saying that Bill Gates has no taste. This is from like the 90s. And as you were talking about this, it struck me that I was just reading an article the other day and then started looking at all these different YouTube videos about how right now, even over the last 10 or 15 years, like all the number one or just a huge portion of like number one hits on the Billboard radio charts were created by these two guys, Max Martin and Dr. Luke. They're people who they do like synthesizer keyboard beats and stuff. Hmm. And they're writing essentially the same type of song for all these different artists right now. Like right now there's five different artists with number ones or in the top five, and it's all from these same people. And like chameleons, they just go along and just for different artists after artists, they just write hit after hit after hit. They all get the number one. So there is some sense of taste. There is something about a hit maker, you know, someone who is guaranteed to make an instant hit, that no matter how they iterate and what product category they come into, always seem to just strike the right balance of features of what the most number of people will find the most interesting.
Mm.
And it can be controversial. It can be, you know, whether it's controversial lyrics or people say, oh, the beat is, the melody is so simplistic. They're just recycling the same thing. And you can identify the same motifs from the different songs that they continue to write. And you can say the same thing about Apple. That's, they've all got the brushed aluminum. They've all got the, you know, we can go on and on about things that we know makes an Apple product. But there is something that has to be said about taste that is, it's hard to define. And it, you know, I just found that interesting. And I found that an interesting parallel between, music hit makers and Steve Jobs, who is a product hit maker.
You're lucky that you're 6,000 miles away there, mate, because Andrew's dog disagrees entirely.
I couldn't agree more with all of that. I think this will be the biggest challenge for, you know, God forbid, and obviously none of us want this. I wish Steve all the best, but there is a sort of an inevitability at some point, whether he just chooses to sort of step down on a more permanent basis or whatever happens, that, you know, that there will be a sort of succession of leadership who will ultimately push out new products. And I think his influence on what goes out the door, on just absolutely being completely not prepared to compromise on the quality of something, the minute that goes to its no longer a single individual, if it becomes a committee that other people can say, well, actually, but I think this, and I don't know, that will be the challenge, to see if they keep that sort of elusive, as you say, taste, if that sort of remains, if God forbid, if that sort of slips, as we did see with the Pepsi Cola guy, I forget his name off the top of my head, when Apple did definitely, and that was really evident in the sort of products that came out. They were much more committee based, then I think, yeah, that would be a sort of danger time. But I think in the sort of leadership that they've got lining up, they must realize that this is absolutely sort of crucial to their market, and that the people are buying into these lifestyle devices specifically because they are so ergonomic. They're not the cheapest, but they are exactly the products that people want.
Is that not just being good at what you do, though? I mean, I you know, I'm flattering myself here a little bit, but I've got some folders that I give to clients and that kind of stuff with proposals in it, and that, and they're basically folders that I buy down at Staples that cost me a few quid, and I put a logo in the corner that comes off a sticker. I have to have the sticker in the right place, and I left them to a couple to do for my wife a few years ago, and she came out and she put the sticker on. I was like, no, but it's not the same distance from the left and from the bottom. So I ripped them all off and I did them again, and she got arsey with me. And then, but I just I just got that perfectionist bit about me, which if someone's doing that, is that not just good?
Yeah, I think that is absolutely. But it's that right down to it's in the very DNA of the company, and their products are just that. I mean, there is nothing else quite like. I mean, what is the PC equivalent of an iMac? I mean, there just isn't one. It doesn't even come close. So I think, you know, if it was easy to do, everybody would be doing it. But I think there's a sort of a magic formula to getting that very expensive and complex hardware out at the right price point that is kind of affordable, yet that hits just all the right spots.
But is that where we're being a bit naive as fanboys here? Because actually what we're saying is, well, okay, that's because the PC is just a jumble of components that you can buy anywhere on the net and stuck in a box. Well, the Apple's just the same jumble of the same components stuck in a better looking box.
It is, but there's also the marriage. I mean, again, this is one company that owns both the hardware and the software, so it doesn't really sort of stop at just the hardware. Just the integration of OS X, even right down to how, you know, the kerning on the fonts and everything is all bound into the chip. The graphics chips are absolutely selected because they're optimized, owned by Apple or in some cases Nvidia, but optimized for the operating system. So they have that absolutely overarching control, all geared up to producing one single product. And there's no one else that really, you know, has that. They're either, you know, software manufacturers licensing for hardware, as we've sort of seen with fragmented phones and stuff, and I just don't think that anyone else has that kind of control. And it's and that's so much of this is sort of bound up with Steve. It's you know, whether they maintain that control going forward, I think will be crucial.
Yeah, well, best of luck, Steve.
I hate to be in Tim's shoes. I don't want to be in his shoes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? The first product that's pushed out the door, he's like, oh God, I hope this thing sells.
Yeah.
I think there's
you got to think that they've got some pretty hot stuff queued up for exactly that reason, though.
You'd hope.
I have a feeling. Yeah.
Go ahead, so. Andrew.
Hey, Steve has always said.
As well as the focus that you've all been talking about on in terms of just the hardware and the integration with the software and things, the other thing that Steve brings to Apple that no other company has is a sort of focus on vision and where the company's going. I mean, it's been a long, long time since any other tech company has envisioned and moved a platform forward. And you can see with the Mac App Store where Apple are trying to take how applications are distributed and downloaded. They invented the ecosystem of apps on the phone, pretty much. You know, they do this, and all of this stuff comes from two places. One, I think, is the fact that Steve Jobs is so focused. He's such a focused individual. But he's also perhaps uniquely in a guy that's founded a tech company, is that he is so untechnical. I mean, everyone's always laughed at him, but, you know, back in the days, people said, oh, Steve Jobs, what's he doing running Apple Computer? He can't code, he can't program, he can't do this. And it's like, no, he can't. And Dell and all the other sort of early companies that set up HP and things were formed by tech people who were quite happy to be, you know, making computers that did things. And I think that almost Steve Jobs' lack of technical ability has been Apple's greatest success, because he doesn't care whether something's technically feasible or hard or difficult. He just cares how it works and how it looks for the consumer.
Hmm. Eric, you found us a story on changes to Mobile Me that are being suspected. Tell us a bit more.
Okay, so this was reported by the cultofmac.com. They say this is an exclusive that they have. They say that among the services Apple's working on for Mobile Me, besides making it free, are, they say, a live video streaming service like Ustream, a location-based check-in system like Gowalla or Foursquare, a geo-tagging system that's codenamed Tokens that tags real-world locations like Facebook Places on steroids. And they say that this is all going to relate somehow to a user's a web page, like a Facebook profile kind of thing for a user, where it will tell people where they are if they choose to. They can flip a button and start streaming video to this thing. It's interesting because it kind of sounds like if they were to do this, it would go after Facebook in some ways, but in other ways, they aren't things that Facebook is doing. Also not things that I think are outside the realm of possibility for Apple. So I'm intrigued by this.
Is anyone else here with me on this one? Because none of the things that you've suggested it can do actually sound like a positive to me. We're going to know where you are. We're going to know what you're doing when you check in, and we're going to take your photos, and we'll have a geo tag on them, and you'll know. In fact, actually, we'll know when you're having a crap, because the microphone will switch on and we'll hear the splash. I mean, it's. I just don't. I don't want that.
So I think in the Facebook world, and I'm not necessarily its biggest fan, but some of the people do love that stuff. And I think it's the mobile users, especially the younger generation, that are really into, you know, checking into places. This is where I am. This is what I thought. Because it's so easy to do. The phone is actually doing most of the hard work for you. But I think some of that actually does translate to business. So Salesforce.com, for instance, recently launched Chatter, which sort of is a lot of that sort of social networking interaction, but now for teams of people. So you are talking about, you're checking into the meeting that you're going to at HP, and here's all the notes about it. And it's a much more sort of, if they're trying to maybe sort of strike some happy medium between not all the schmaltz of Facebook, but if it was a bit more grown up and maybe a bit more useful with, you know, some of the other tools from MobileMe, then I could conceivably see that would be interesting. It would be interesting if they were also trying to sort of make a play to take some of Facebook's market away from them. They might be the only company that would still be capable of doing that now.
It strikes me that the only people that do check-in applications are the ones that don't own their house. Is that unfair? Because there's a woman that I follow on Twitter, and she checks in, and I'm kind of like, why would you check into your own house? A, I know where you live. B, I now know when you're not there. I mean, I don't get the checking in bit. And the other thing is as well, because you want to switch it off and switch it on in the software's functionality, it's never that easy to do. And I get to the point where I just think, I'm just not going to do this. I have got check-in fatigue, and I've never really even done it.
I agree. I think it's insane. But I actually did see this working in Twitter. A bunch of my colleagues were going to RSA in San Francisco this week. And, you know, I could see them all getting on the plane thinking, you're there too. And I could see it kind of working as a bit of crowdsourcing for people meeting up. In that instance, it seemed moderately useful, I guess.
I mean,
looking at all the services that have been shunted through there and how it's, you know, a mashup of this and mashup of that, I think the only other thing to bear in mind is that when Apple move in these areas, then they only do it to monetize. I mean, all the other services, great, they're free. Twitter's free, you know, Foursquare's free, and, you know, it's supported by this, at the other, and there's a whole variety of, frankly, sometimes spurious business models doing the rounds. But when Apple move into somewhere with cloud services, with MobileMe, with anything they do, it is monetized. They're not interested, I don't think, in this sort of like free services. So whatever they're building up here is going to have a monetary component. Someone's going to make some money out of it, and some people are going to be paying some money for it.
But back to my Mac is a very, very expensive service for what it is at the moment. I mean, you can buy an awful lot more web space for £79 a year. You can get functionality that does back to my Mac effectively for £44 a year in their own Apple store. You know, I mean, I don't get mobile me other than the ability to sync through my contacts through the cloud. I get very little from it, I have to say. It's certainly not 79 quid's worth, but I don't want to not have it.
No, well, I think with all this new, with the new improved mobile me, you'll probably be paying a bit more than £79 for what they're offering. I suspect it'll be, you know, whatever it is, it'll be paid for. And at the other end of it, there'll be some other people making some money out the back of your data.
Mm. I think there's another rumor on the
mobile me side of things, and I can't remember. I don't think this was very well sourced, so it probably is just pulled out of thin air. But there was some speculation that iTunes now might also start to at last sit in the cloud, so that if you had a library that you could potentially access from your phone without any of the music necessarily needing to be resident. Did anyone else hear that?
Yeah,
that's been a rumor, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a rumor. I covered it on the media show this week on Tuesday's episode. And I mean, I've heard that too. I've also heard that they're going to take away the $99 fee for MobileMe there too. You know, the thing about this, though, is it sounds nice all in all. If people want to do it, fine. It's their choice. Will it work? Ping has not been the most successful thing now, has it?
Nope.
And I think maybe there's a thing there that...
I wouldn't be surprised if they use...
Sorry, hang on, fellas. Hang on. Eric, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I wouldn't be surprised if they do some kind of deal with Facebook to partner up with Facebook to integrate some of these features and use that to go after Google. Because right now in the phone market, it's Apple versus Google. But in the social network market, it's Google versus Facebook. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see whether Apple tries to do it themselves, tries to unseat them. They may say, look, we've failed miserably with Ping. No one has adopted that. And by the way, did you see there was an article the other day called Confessions of an Apple Store Employee? And the person, if they're to be believed, said that they're all encouraged to sell MobileMe and to sell AppleCare. And they say AppleCare is an easy sell because it's a good deal generally. But they say nobody buys MobileMe. And I think Apple's biggest problem now is that all the Android phones, with Google's far more robust system for keeping track of your contacts and your documents and syncing all that stuff to the cloud through Google Apps and the various Google services that they give away for free and are better than MobileMe, I think they're going to have to both improve it and make it free.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I've got conned, obviously, then. Sorry.
I don't know. At the end of the day, as long as, you know, the only way they're going to be able to catch up with Facebook is make sure that they share all of my private information as much as possible and then have security updates every 3 months.
Oh, cool. On that point, I think we better end that conversation. Have we got any cool thingies? Mark, we've kind of thrown this on you, but I noticed you have picked something. So away you go, mate.
I did pick one. It may have been mentioned in the past, or I would speculate that probably everyone has used it or heard of it, but it's Evernote. If you haven't already got Evernote, then it could be fairly transformational for you. The strapline is remember everything. It's free. So, and there's also an iPhone app, and basically every time if you're kind of reading a web page or you see some piece of information, you can just sort of click the button and it all syncs up to this thing in the cloud. And what's really neat is it also indexes stuff in the cloud as well, sort of over time. So for instance, if you take a photograph in the Evernote app of, let's say, a bottle of wine, when you're at the shops, it goes up to the cloud, and then when you go to search, it'll actually convert, it'll OCR all the text on that wine label, so when you're searching for something, it'll pull up the photo. There's also stuff for voice, so you can leave yourself voice memos, and everything just goes in this one place, and I just find it really handy for basically just chuck everything at that, and then sort of figure it out what I want to do with stuff later.
It's very, very good. There's an awful lot of... kind of competition for Evernote now, aren't there, though, with categorization and those kind of things, and a lot of them are moving towards predictive stuff, so that they'll start to make suggestions about the kinds of things that you log in your notes, where you can go and find them and that kind of thing. But Evernote is beautifully simple. I agree with you there, definitely. Andrew, have you got a cool thingy for us?
Cool thingy, yes. Basically, it's a little system extension. It's called HyperDock, and we've all got the dock on our Mac, and it's all, you know, some people really hate it, most people just meh it. You know, it's not as fast at launching applications as just going to Spotlight. You know, people get confused by stacks and all this sort of thing. But anyway, HyperDock is most fantastic. You just install it, it runs, and it adds all sorts of functionality to your dock. For example, you scroll down through the dock, and any applications that have multiple windows running, it pops up little thumbnails of all the windows that you've got for that app.
Very good.
You can click between the two windows. You can open and close files directly from the dock there. You can watch your little iTunes movies in running on mini windows in the dock. Yeah, it's a really nice thing. And a lot of the stuff Apple should have perhaps put in the dock themselves many years ago, but the dock's really stayed fairly stationary for a long time.
There's an awful lot of Apple software stayed fairly stationary for a long time.
Well, the Finder for one.
Mail, Finder, iCal, they're desperately in need of an update. Contacts, I can't understand why there isn't an Outlook that's made by Apple at the moment, for the life of me.
Yeah. No, it's weird. I mean, sometimes they stuff, you know, stuff that is fairly crucial to your experience. They've just, you know, they obviously had a good idea for the dock when they were making OS X, and they've just left it exactly as it was since then.
Yeah. I think, so Outlook in Office, what is it now, 2013, is that the new one?
Yeah.
Or no. So I have a friend that uses the full-blown Outlook, and it is called Outlook now, not Entourage, and it's a properly faithfully reproduced. If you're really into Outlook or you know, use that in a sort of corporate world and want that reprised on a Mac, then yeah, I'd go for the Office product.
However, it's £125.
That is the rub.
Outlook was never worth £125. Outlook is worth free. There we go. That's my. Yeah. It's a piece of crap. Excellent choice, mate. Thank you. Is it free? Do you say?
Yeah, it runs in beta at the moment. You download it for free, and it runs there. And then when they produce a new beta version, it expires, and it asks you to re-download the new version, and it keeps running. Eventually, I think it's going to turn over into a paid app. But you know, the current price of apps, I suspect it's going to be a $2.99, $3.99 app, something like that.
And Pathfinder seems to do the same kind of thing, doesn't it? It renews.
Yeah, I mean, there's been other things. I mean, some people will swear black and blue by Quicksilver, which I never managed to get.
I hate that. I never got Quicksilver.
Too much stuff being thrown at you.
Yeah.
And Pathfinder was a nice little version as well, but that seems to have gone by the wayside. But this is the first one of these, you know, OS functionality extenders or doc, you know, UI extenders that I've used that it just immediately clicked and gone, yep, that's a straight part of my daily workflow. That is fantastic.
Do you think it's going to look, is it sort of lion-ish in any sort of hints?
Yeah, it is lion-ish. It's heading more away from, you know, the standard OS X. Look more to where I think Lion's going with the treatment of Windows and the sort of the frosted glass HUD look that is taking over as well.
Have you got a bird in the background there, Andrew?
That's the people's door downstairs. Normally what happens is the door squeaks and then the dog goes mad. But
I'm going to say, because I was about to call you Dr. Doolittle instead of Dr. Happy Mac on next week's show.
No, that's the office downstairs and the dog's gone to sleep now. So.
Oh, right. Kyle. Have you got, on that prompted note, Kyle, have you got a cool thingy?
Yeah, it's actually an app, and it's called Pick Transfer. And I tried to put a link there in the chat room, and it won't let me. So it's called Pick Transfer. And essentially what it is, you need the app on two devices if you're transferring from an iOS to another iOS device. But you can send pictures from one, say, one iPhone or iPad to the other iPhone. I used it with my wife this week. She's got a 3G, and when I gave it to her when I upgraded to the iPhone 4, so there was pictures she wanted. So we used this app to transfer them over, and it worked beautifully. And what I really like about it is you can do stuff in the backgrounds with multitasking. So you can be surfing the web or checking email or whatever, and it'll just send whatever amount of pictures you want to throw. If it's 200 pictures, it'll take 200 pictures. Mm. Another thing I love about it, it also does or works with Bluetooth, that is, as well. It's not just limited to Wi-Fi. And you can also transfer things over to the Mac now as well. I haven't been able to try that out this week, but
that's
what it says. And it's 99 cents. It's not free, but it's close to it.
So from your iDevice on the fly to your Mac, potentially.
Yes, potentially. I don't know about that yet because my Mac is in hospital. But it does work from iPhone to iPhone or iPhone to iPad.
Right, mate.
What's the name of it one last time?
Pick Transfer.
PIC Transfer. Two words. There's a link in the show notes, so we'll do that. We're also, before Eric does his, sorry to steal your thunder here, Eric, but we're also doing a newsletter each week, which you're going to be able to sign up to as of next week. And in there will be all the show notes from all of the shows with all of the links to all of the stories that we've got or any of the interesting stuff or any of the recommendations that we've made. It's going to be called The Spam. So there you go. You have to sign up for spam if you want to get the Bagel Tech stuff. Bagel Tech Spam. Sorry, Eric, right, away you go, mate. Your cool thingy.
Sure, so I've got one that probably you've recommended and other folks have recommended on the show hundreds of times over, but it has an important new update that has made me take a second look at it. That is Handbrake, handbrake.fr. You all know it as the program that can rip your DVDs and your pre-ripped Blu-rays and can encode anything to various MPEG-4 flavors. The new, for the longest time, it's been the best implementation of the X264 semi-open source version of the H264 codec, which is the best codec on the Mac. So it's been a great program for ripping your DVDs and things like that, getting them onto iPhones. But for the longest time, I could never use it to do any kind of podcast or internet video production because it didn't allow mono audio tracks. So you had to cut. So doing all these like spoken word podcasts, you had to have stereo. So when you're trying to get something down to like 50 megabytes or less, having that extra audio track, you know, you can't afford that. You'd rather use that for the video. So now this new version in version 0.9.5, one of those programs that is perpetually in beta, now does offer mono. And the other thing that I discovered, actually, it improved on its X264 codec implementation, and its user interface got a little bit better. So this still, and once again maybe, is the fastest and highest quality H.264 video encoder on the Mac. If you throw, it is orders of magnitude more efficient than Apple's built-in H.264 encoder, whether you're talking in compressor or in QuickTime. And the other cool thing that I now use this, I discovered, is if you duplicate the program, you can get multiple encodings going at the same time by opening up numerous copies of the same of the Handbrake application. And then when it says, when it used to say another version of Handbrake is already running, I used to just say, oh, okay. And then I just close it thinking, well, I guess it can't do anything. But if you say okay and then say reload queue, the other iteration of the program will start working on the files in the queue. So as many as you have open, it'll work on it. But when I get three going, that maxes out my my 8-core Mac Pro. But that is so much better than just having one at a time.
Kyle is going to be lucky to get one running on that G4 even when it's fixed.
You just stop rubbing it in, would
you? All right, sorry, mate. How's it stack up against things like Video Monkey and what's the other one? The real free one, the blue dot thing. I can't remember his name. How's it against Video Monkey and that kind of stuff?
Well, I haven't used Video Monkey. I may have used it a while ago, but I just know that I've never found a program that gives you this much access to the H.264 parameters and flags and this deep, deep customization. And it has a whole page of scary settings that I used to never even look at just because I didn't know what they meant. And over time, I've now gotten to the point, I've done enough tests with them and read the tutorials and guides enough that I do have a sense of what they do, and I've really optimized it for what I need to get the highest quality for a given bit rate. Okay. And I just never come across something that is both as fast a codec, higher quality for H.264, and gives you all that insane customization.
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty cool. Well done. My cool thingy is actually very, very simple and quite sad, really, I suppose. If you go to the Apple Mac Store and type in SolarWalk, you'll find it in there. I think they do an iPad version of it, but there's definitely one for the Mac App Store on your desktop. I've got a 30-inch monitor. I'm quite lucky here. And watching that at full res on a 30-inch monitor, it's extremely good. The kernel and fonts and that kind of stuff, it doesn't break up at all. And I stood here with Ellis, and we did the whole solar system the other week with all the planets and all of the moons around all of the planets. And it's really fantastic. There's a massive amount of information in the information tab when you get it down, and it's £1.79. So I mean, that's going to be what, $2.50 or something like that, maybe in the States. And it's really, really good. That's Solar Walk for the Mac App Store on your main Mac. It's bloody brilliant. And before we do Where Can We Get A Hold Of You, just a quick word about our sponsors, UK2.net. They keep us afloat in so many ways. And I know we say this every week, but I can't really stress enough to you how important these people are to us. See, even Andrew's dog woke up for the advert on UK2. That's how good they are.
Hang on.
See, he's just excited.
Yes. Andrew's dog endorses UK2.net. Web barking for everyone. Now, UK2 pick up all our bandwidth. We're doing video now as well, which they're going to start picking up soon, which they don't know about yet, but carry on. And they're also talking about doing a few competitions with us. So if you're a BagelTech listener and a UK2 customer, then you'll be able to win some pretty fantastic prizes. We've had a little chat about the prizes, and if they're real, and we do this, they're well worth having. Well worth having. They keep us on the air. So if you're listening to this podcast, by default, you want to keep us on the air, I hope. So go to bageltechnews.com and click on the link through from the main page straight through to uk2.net, and they'll know that you're listening to us, and they know that, that the advertising that they place with us is helping, and that they're not just sucking up hundreds and hundreds of pounds of bandwidth charge each month for no good reason. You know, so we do nearly a terabyte a month here now, so, and that's just on audio. God knows what's going to happen when we do video. Awfully sorry. uk2.net. Give them a try. Thanks ever so much. Where can we get a hold of you then, fellas? Mark?
My Twitter handle is at Mark Sunner, no spaces, S-U-N-N-E-R, so like the season, but with N's. But I am, of course, just a pale stand-in for Will. So he is at British Mac, and he's infinitely more exciting than I am at tweeting.
No, mate, that's okay. I think you've done extremely well, pal, for a last-minute standing. I've been, full stop, you've done very well, let alone for a last-minute standing. Thank you very much. You'll be back, promise you. We'll have you on again. And a security element as well. And because you agree with me, then that guarantees that you're going to come back as well. That doesn't help. Andrew, where can we get a hold of you?
Over the weekend, I shall be scouring the internet to try and find a Steve Jobs doll on eBay.
No, it's been banned, hasn't it?
I'm sure that I have to make my own. Meanwhile, you can Twitter me at Dr. Happy Mac, and you can go and have a look at www.drhappymac.co.uk, and I might even find some time to write something bloggy or articley about something.
Well, if you want to write a bit of technical stuff, you know, to go on our blog, you're more than welcome to. We can give you an access so you can post it.
Yeah, cool.
Be on the network. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be really cool. Send some questions in and we can get them answered and that kind of stuff.
Did we do all the questions at the beginning? Was it just the one, or was there
some? No, we had the two, because we had the thing. What we didn't do, we didn't talk about the lithium-ion battery article, which was absolutely bloody brilliant. There's one in Ars Technica that says how to treat a lithium-ion battery. We'll post that in the show notes and you can have a read of it. Very, very good article.
Splendid.
Carl, where can we get hold of you?
Before you tell you that, if Andrew really wants a Steve Jobs doll, I'm near China. I'm sure they got some copies somewhere there. You can get a hold of me on Twitter, just at Kyle Swagger, Swagger with 1G. And, of course, you can find me on a whole bunch of shows here.
Every show on the Bagel Tech Network. I thought I was on a lot of shows.
Not every show.
Soon to start the web show.
I'm not on Dad and the Dude.
No, you're not. Neither am I.
That would be just too weird.
I might as well not be. Ellis steals the show. He gets fan mail. someone called Anne wrote to him this week and said she thought he was cute. He's 7. Leave him alone. Eric, where can we get hold of you, mate?
That would be twitter.com/EricLanigan. And also my website is ericlanigan.com, ericlanigan.
And in about 20 minutes, back in bed.
Yep. I'm halfway there already.
Mate, thank you ever so much for standing in the last few weeks. You've really helped. And you're still going to be a regular on the big show, I hope, though.
Oh, I hope so.
Good man. We've got Cary Holtzman rejoining us. So he'll never come on the Mac show because he's a Mac hater. So we usually talk all things Apple when he's around on the big show, just to annoy him. So he's here tonight. Stay out for that one. Right, well, that's it. There's no more to talk about. We've finished the Mac show. We'll see you again next week. If you want to join us, we're at 1 p.m. live on a Friday in Ustream, and you can get to us through the main website, which is bageltechnews.com, and we'll see you then. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.